Well, good morning, everybody, and thank you for being here. It's a privilege to be here, obviously, and I thank Pastor Chris for allowing me to share the pulpit. But I get to preach today. When they asked me to preach today, they asked Pastor Dave to preach next week. So when we were in staff meeting, Pastor Chris sort of said, you know, kind of the classics, and I mean, you mean the old men? So it's me today, Pastor Dave next week, and Pastor Dave's preaching on Philip and the eunuch, and he's already shared with me a little bit of that message, and it's going to be powerful, so I encourage you to be here for his message. And also, I just want to let you know that we may be older, but we're still flying high, and if you'll show Pastor Dave, this was him just 2 weeks ago flying high. Look at that form. So anyway, I didn't get his flip. He actually did a flip off the diving board at his age. And then I'm still swinging. I'm not flying high, but I'm still swinging. So the next picture. So who would have known that after surgery on April 7th that I could lift my hands and go off a Tarzan swing? So, only God can do that, you know. So anyway, my message today is going to be a new heart. Appropriate, right? And so it's going to be a new heart. But before we do that, let's just open in prayer. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to come before you, and we thank you for the worship we had today. We thank you that as we exalted your name, Father, that you moved amongst us, and we thank you, and we ask you to continue to move. We ask that, Lord, you would speak through me, that you would actually allow people to hear your voice, if not mine, and that you would illuminate different truths to them so that they could clearly understand who you are and how much you love them. We just thank you for that and just ask you right now that the Holy Spirit would lead and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, many of you know, 3 months ago on April 17th, I had surgery, open heart surgery. I found out I was going to have that surgery on February 22nd when I went to take an echocardiogram, and I came home and told my wife what it looked like, and she said, that sounds like a bad valve. And sure enough, I had a bad aortic valve. Nothing else is wrong with my heart, just that valve quit. Now, why that quit, I don't know. Two doctors have told me it's nothing you did. It just happens sometimes. But anyway, so I was scheduled for surgery. Now, how many of you, when you find that out, you say, well, that's great. I would love to have my chest cut open. So I wasn't real thrilled, but I said, Lord, you said that, you know, if you ask and believe, so I was believing for a miracle. How many of you have tried to believe for a miracle before? So I did everything I knew. I've had healings before, so I did everything I knew to do. I didn't skip any meetings. I ran a men's event that night, didn't tell anybody maybe for a month, and just continued to act like I was healed and believe God for a miracle. And then the Lord started telling me, and through my wife and others, well, you probably need to tell the kids. And I go, okay. And then I was in Florida on our little vacation, and he said, you probably need to tell the church. And I go, well, you know, okay. So if I, you know, I'm believing for this miracle. How many of you, so Pastor Dave had prayed for me. I didn't even tell him what was wrong one time. And then after I came back from Florida, I shared, and then the whole church prayed for me. But on April 17th, when I'm sitting there ready to go into surgery, I hadn't received my miracle yet. And so obviously, I didn't get my miracle the way I'd like to. My prayer was I'd never spend a night in the hospital. I never had before, so that was my prayer, that I'd go home with never spending a night in the hospital. So instead, I've spent 8 nights in a hospital and 9 days. So, but anyway, in the midst of that, you know, we're bought with a price, and I knew that I can trust the Lord. I had a good feeling. Or I had a sense, a rhema word, which is when God speaks to you, that I was going to live. I didn't even sign some papers I needed to sign before I went in because I knew I was going to be out. So that's all great, you know, and everything. But going through it, I would have never could tell you exactly, you know, how many, you know, when you go through something, there's just no way anybody can understand what you've gone through. And so it was really tough. But so I was in there, so I went into surgery, and we had some fun with it. I asked the doctor if I needed to bring a saw or if he had one. He said that he would use his own, and I said, that's fine. And so we had some fun with it, and, you know, we went in there. And so the first day I got cut open and, you know, everything, and Susie got to see me for a total of 1 minute. And then the second day, I guess I was bleeding. I don't know any of this because I'm knocked out. I go in for the second. They open me up again because now I've been internal bleeding. So they stop all that. Then over the next few days, I have to have 6 or 7 different units of blood because of, losing all that blood. So I got a cow valve. I got 6 or 7 units of blood of somebody else. So I really don't know who I am anymore. But if you come to my house, I keep the grass real short because I graze a lot. And in all honesty, in all seriousness, it was the toughest time I've ever had in my life. Yet at the same time, on the third day, I think I spit out the tube, the oxygen tube. I can hear them in the background yelling, "He needs oxygen," and all this stuff. But I was still knocked out. And anyway, I get into a step-down unit, and I'm there, and the nurses, telling me stuff, and she walked out, and I was just praising and worshiping, and I brought tapes and everything. I didn't turn TV on. It was all just scripture and stuff for the 8 and 9 days I was in there. And I felt the Lord go from the top of my head into my chest, just a warmth. And so I really didn't need pain medicine for my heart that much. So they'd ask me, "Do you need pain medicine?" It'd be 8, 9, 10 hours. And I said, "No," but my shoulder was killing me. I couldn't even sleep because my shoulder was so bad. And I had some catheter issues, which we won't go into. Anyway, so my shoulder was hurting. So I would take pain medicine at night, not for my heart, but just to ease the pain in my shoulder so I could sleep a little bit. But because I lost some blood, I was so weak that at night I couldn't even raise the bed to get water because I just was totally weak because my hemoglobin was down to 5. So in the midst of all that, needless to say, the Lord strengthened me and I came through. And after being in the hospital and oxygen all those days, I came home. It was a tough month. But there's something over here that really helped me. Pastor Chris, I think it was on Friday night, brought Susie the prayer blanket that you guys prayed over. And this laid on my heart many nights, many days, sometimes all day. And I could sense your prayers, and I appreciate that. There's fish on this, which was very appropriate. Then somebody, the hospital gave me a heart. My son Caleb brought me this to squeeze, because when you sneeze and your heart's been cut open, you feel it. So you squeeze these things anytime you feel like you're going to sneeze, cough, or just anytime it hurts. And then the Fullers gave me a sheep to squeeze. But something that happened that I just never realized was people sent over 150 cards to bless me. Each one of them I read. Each one of them was important to me. Each one of them, I'm going to move this back. I'm going to move this back a little bit. Each one of them was very important to me, and they still are. And I probably will read them again someday. But everyone was an encouragement. And some of you sent texts and emails, and your prayers were just important. So I made it through, and after 3 months, I believe I'm here because God's strengthened me. But I believe that you're part of that because you helped me get through one of the toughest times in my life. And it was a tough time for Susie, too. And so we just thank you for that, and we both want to thank you for all your prayers and your support. But a new heart. I got a new heart in the sense by a miracle through medicine. Okay, sometimes you don't get the miracle that you want. And sometimes that's disappointing. What would the devil tell a pastor if he doesn't get his miracle? Well, you're a pastor and you couldn't even have enough faith to receive your miracle. And so you can feel guilty about that, or you can just say, "Lord, I just have to trust you. I don't understand why I didn't get a miracle." How many of you understand? I have a Down syndrome daughter, Susie, and I for 18 years. We've been praying for 18 years. Okay, some of you have been praying for things for longer than that. And sometimes we just don't understand why we don't get things. Sometimes we don't understand what God's doing. Sometimes I reason with God and try and counsel him on how he should run the universe. And he doesn't seem to listen to me much, but he at least listens. And so I at least get it off my chest. And so it's important that, we get things off our chest and tell them, "Lord, this is the way I feel." And it's okay to do that. And so, I told him, I'd rather have had a miracle, but then, just think about it, Lord. I told him, I could have died. It would have been better. because then you could have raised me up and Lazarus didn't have to go through rehab. I got to walk on a treadmill 36 times at the rehab center to get my heart back in shape. Lazarus didn't do that. He just walked out and he was normal again. It would have been better if you let me die and just bring me back, Lord. It would have been easier. So, you know, I've had those conversations with him. Have you had those conversations with him about things in your life? He wants you to, okay? Because at the end, the bottom line is what? Okay, Lord, I still trust you. You're God. You know more than I ever will know. And you're there, and you're the only one there for me. So God gave me a new physical heart, but that's not a good, I mean, that's a great miracle, but the greatest miracle in all of life is having a new spiritual heart. That's the greatest miracle. And so in the beginning, in Genesis, it says, God made man in his own image. And so when he made man in his own image, he gave him the same heart or the same spirit that he had. Okay, so this is what God made. He made man with the same love inside of them. So Adam and Eve both had the image of God inside of them. They had the same spirit. So sometimes in the Bible it talks about heart, but it's really your inner man or your spirit. So it's easier to display a heart than it is to display our spirit. But Adam and Eve were created just like God. And then what happened? So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he, him, male and female, created them. He created them equal, and he created them in a loving way, and he gave them and breathed into them exactly his nature. So you would think that, okay, God's a perfect God, isn't he? He's a perfect father. You would think that he had perfect children, right? And the Lord commanded the man, saying, every tree of the garden that thou mayest eat freely, in Genesis 2, 16 and 17. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Do you ever notice men don't like to be told what to do? Do you ever notice they don't like boundaries? You know, we want to be free. Teenagers, they like that line. I want to be free. Free of rules. Free of any kind of boundaries. Sometimes being free of any kind of boundaries is bondage. And so God said, hey, you got all this, but you can't do this. So God told Adam before Eve was even created. Did you get that? And then the woman, Eve, ate of the fruit and gave to her husband who was with her. That happens a little bit later. So Eve looks at that, and instead of Adam being the leader of what he should have done is say, hey, we can't eat that. The Lord said not to eat that. Obviously, he didn't care, and he basically was committing treason. You say, well, he committed treason. What does that mean? It means he changed fathers. Do you ever have a teenager say to you, I wish you weren't my father? Sometimes they do that. I was watching Ice Age with Joy the other day, and then the Continental Drift. Manny is there, and he's got a teenage daughter, and he corrected her in front of her, some of her friends, and she was upset. She says, you embarrass me in front of my friends, Dad. I wish you weren't my father. That's what Adam was saying. Adam was saying, God, that's great. You made everything, but I wish you weren't my father. I'm going to change fathers. Okay? And so when he did that, it said, then God's heard, or in Genesis 3:8 it says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden of the cool day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Do you ever notice when you do something wrong, you hide yourself from the person in authority? Kids, wherever you're at, teenagers, what do you do when you do something wrong and your dad comes home? You know, you hide. And so here's what they do. They hide. Why did they hide? Well, they hid because they didn't have good hearts anymore. What had happened? What did God say? When you eat of that tree, you shall what? Surely die. So there went the presence of God. He threw it away. And he got a new heart from his other father. Jesus said, you are of your father's the what? Devil. So both of them lost the presence of God in their life. And because of that, they had a wicked heart. So now they don't have the nature of God anymore, but God loved them enough that he began to start a plan to send Jesus to redeem them from that moment on. He had to cut and kill some animals and clothe them because they said they were naked. He said, who told you you were naked? So the disobedience, Adam's disobedience led to what? The fall of mankind. All of mankind. How many of you have heard that the woman was the person that messed up? You heard that? It was the man that messed up. So guys, don't ever think it was the woman, because in 1 Timothy 2:14 it says, and Adam was not deceived. He knew what he was doing. He changed fathers. Life is real simple. There's two fathers in the world. God the Father and devil the father. It's up to you which one you want to have as your father. So what does that tell us? Adam changed fathers by committing treason, and both Adam and Eve lost their spiritual heart, which is the same as God's heart. Now God the Father, who is perfect, but his kids weren't. Parents, do you have perfect kids? You're not a perfect parent, and guess what? Kids have a free will. If your kids aren't perfect, what's the devil going to tell you? Well, you didn't do this right, or you didn't do that right, or, you know, he wants you to feel guilt. Okay? But God was perfect, and he didn't have perfect kids because he gave man free will. But once they're in this state, he wants to redeem them. Now, how is he going to redeem them? Well, the only way to redeem him is to make a covenant. So he makes a covenant. He makes a covenant, and this is where things in the Old Testament don't seem to be the same as in the New, because the New Testament is about the New Covenant. So he makes a covenant, and now mankind has a heart that is what? It says in Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? How many of you have known good people that you say, oh, that person was good, and then they committed murder? Oh, I thought that person was my neighbor, and he was nice, and he did this. Because, see, the heart is still bad till we have a new heart. So what do? In the Old Testament, we have pluses and minuses. You ever live under that? Religion is pluses and minuses. Okay? Jesus came to get rid of religion, because you try and do good, you get a plus. You don't do so good, you get a minus. But no matter what, the Jews could never get rid of the heart. They could never get rid of the bad heart. Neither can you. Because we were born that way. As soon as we sin, we have a bad heart. And so there's no one that hasn't sinned except Christ. And so that bad heart, then what does that do? So then we end up doing works. So in the Old Testament, they did works. Did you ever notice all the people in the Old Testament? You thought, well, why did David mess up? He didn't have a good heart. Why did Moses mess up and murder somebody? Didn't have a good heart. Why did Samson keep messing up? Didn't have a good heart. He didn't have a heart like God. He had a wrong heart, and they tried to do good things. So the way we live in the world, if you haven't been born again and have a good heart, you still have a bad heart, and you're trying to do good things and impress God. This is dangerous for kids that grow up in the church. Why is it dangerous? Because they see mom and dad doing good things, and they think, if I do these plus things, then I'll be fine. You'll be fine, but does this person go to heaven? Does this person go to heaven? God looks on the heart. Wrong heart, a lot of plus things. Old Testament, he would, if he believed unto the Savior of, you know, of the Savior coming, that's fine. New Testament, you need to get this changed, because Jesus came and he was the first born again of all of us. Were the disciples born again? No, not till Jesus was raised from the dead. So the disciples messed up before Jesus was raised from the dead. didn't they? That Peter messed up. James and John wanted to be, you know, sitting at the right hand. They asked dumb questions. They messed up. Okay? But afterwards, do you see any of them messing up except Judas? Do you see anybody messing up? No, they got all martyred. And John was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. Because why? They had a heart change. So they ended up having their heart changed. And so we're supposed to live. When Jesus died, we sang about it. He gave us back our new heart. So now we have the presence of God. Do we have sin consciousness anymore if you're born again? No, you have God consciousness. What is the problem then why we still mess up? It's right here, our mind. We still need to renew our minds, but you should never think of yourself as a sinner. You are not. You are a child of God. You have the same spirit that Christ has. You have been breathed into the same thing that Adam had in the beginning. You have God consciousness. When the devil walks and sees you walking down the road, guess who he sees? Someone that serves God. He sees the nature of God coming at him, because that's what you look like on the inside. You have the presence of God. But we haven't lived like that sometimes. Some of you would have probably worshiped more if you say, man, I got a new heart. I should be happy. That's the only thing you should rejoice in every day. I have a new heart. I have a home in heaven. My Father has made a place for me because I have a new heart. God has given me a new heart. I have His nature inside of me. There is no nature. It says that He was going to write, and we'll look at this in Ezekiel. It says that He was going to write, and I'll have to read this in this. I don't think I have it written down, so I'll turn it to it in the scriptures here. But in Ezekiel, it talks about what God was going to do. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will take away your stony, ugly, black, deceitful heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. In other words, I'll give you my heart. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land and give your fathers. And you shall be my people and I shall be your God. In other words, you'll be my children. You're going to look just like me. Just like it was supposed to be in the beginning. So where does this person go when they die? Heaven. Yeah. But we have to be careful that we don't have new hearts and then get back into works. It's by grace that you were saved. In Hebrews, it talks about they had gotten saved, and then the Hebrew writer is telling them, don't go back into works. Don't go back into the plus and minuses of life. You're saved. God has written His laws in your heart. What do we have to do? Renew our minds so we're transformed so that our heart and mind are the same. We already have everything written inside of us. We have His nature. Now we just need to conform because our minds were not renewed to what God says. You know the scripture says, let the mind of Christ be in you. You have to let His mind be in you. You have to let the Word of God be in you. So how do you do that? You do that by meditating and staying in His Word. And you'll agree. And it says, you know, you should be led by your what? Spirit. There is no condemnation or no guilt to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk what? Not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you let your heart lead you, it will lead you right. It's God's presence inside you. He won't let you go wrong. So if you don't have peace about going somewhere, guess what? Don't go there. If you don't have peace about making a relationship with someone, don't do it. God will lead you by the Spirit inside of you. So we are made in His nature. But if we're not careful, we can get into works. We can get into pluses and minuses. What's wrong with pluses and minuses? This person that's got all these, guess what he does? Become what? Self-righteous. Begins to judge other Christians. Begins to think, well, you know, I don't do this and I didn't do that. They did that, so they must not be very good Christians. We don't have a right to judge. Only God judges. Okay, what happens with the person who just keeps messing up? They give up. Guess who's behind both of those things? The devil. He wants you to either be self-righteous or he wants you to just give up because you can't do it. You can do it if you've been born again. You have a new heart. You have a new spirit within you. God's written his laws within you. You should be excited about that. That's what you should be excited about. I'm not excited when I mess up. We still mess up, but we have what? 1 John 1:9. If any man sins or makes a mistake, what is he supposed to do? Ask God forgiveness and he'll cleanse him of all his unrighteousness. And then guess what? That's what you look like again. So if you mess up, you just, okay, I messed up. Is God that upset? You know, you were worse off the day you were born again than you are now. It doesn't matter how many times you've messed up. You were worse off before because what did you look like? You look like that. A bad heart. So you ask God to come into your life. Now you have a good heart. From that moment on, you're better off than you ever were here, and you have a home in heaven. Yeah, you'll mess up a few times, but if you just continue to rejoice about your new heart, guess what? You'll mess up less and less because you'll be thankful and grateful. Enter into his what? Gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he'll direct your steps. If you just praise him and worship him for what he's done in your life and given you a new spirit, a nature just like him, then you won't have to worry. Because what? Your heart, your spirit will guide you. You'll begin to sense when you shouldn't do certain things. You'll begin to read his word and it'll open up to you because you already have his nature, and the Holy Spirit then can open up the scriptures to you. So it's important that we recognize that as we live our Christian life, it should be one of what? Excitement and joy. You don't want to be like me and have to go to the medical thing and get a new heart. You got to give you a new heart for what? Just receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's a bigger miracle. That is the biggest miracle there is. Okay? And every day we should get up in the morning and say, this is the day the Lord has made, and I will what? Rejoice and be glad in it because I'm brand new. I'm a child of God. If the worship team could come, I'm a child of God. It's important. You need to know who you are. You need to know. So when the devil comes and says something to you, say, listen, I don't have your nature anymore. My nature is God's nature, and I don't do those things anymore. You have the power and the strength to do things that you never thought you did. But we have to believe and understand who we are. If we don't believe and understand that we're children of God, that we're made in his nature, then we'll do the same thing that Adam and Eve did. We'll mess up. But we don't need to mess up. We're going to, but I'm saying is it's not sin consciousness. You don't have to worry about trying to be pluses and minuses. God's not keeping track. He just wants you to just say, okay, you messed up, let's go. Let's get back to where you were before, and let's get on with the program. So some of you here are living in guilt. You've messed up, and you've been living in guilt, and God says, I want you back here. I want you back to where you be. You've asked me to forgive you. Now you have to believe that I've forgiven you. You have my nature. Now just move on. Let's go day by day. In the Old Testament, what did they get? Manna every day. You need to get manna every day. You need to have a relationship. It's not about being pluses and minuses. It's about a relationship. It's about the veil being rent in two so that you can go in the Holy of Holies and make your requests known to God. God wants to have relationship and fellowship with you every day. And when he does that, you know, then he can teach you. The Holy Spirit's been given to teach you. He's there to lead and guide you every step of the way. So today, I just want to have, a two altar calls. If you don't have a new heart, if that's your heart over here, you need to get here. And if you want, Pastor Phil mentioned that, if you haven't done that, you want to come, there's probably only a few people that maybe even apply to, but if you're here, I don't want to neglect that. If you'll come to the altar or the communion table, either I or someone else will lead you in a prayer that will give you a new heart. But some of you here, if you'll just stand with me right now, some of you here as we begin to sing a song, some of you have, you know you're a child of God, but you still feel guilty. You're still in the pluses and minuses. You're still looking at yourself like, I still mess up, and I wonder if God's really happy with me and God really loves me. Get rid of that junk. God loves you. It's over. Don't let the devil even make you question it. God has not given us a spirit of fear that we're messing up. He's given us his spirit and says, listen, I've given you a spirit of love and power and sound mind. I've given you the ability to live in the fruit of the spirit. I've given you my own nature. You're my child. You're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. What more do you want me to do for you? You're more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens you. But sometimes the devil can get us where we feel guilty because we're back into works. And we think we have to do, well, I miss church. And the devil says, well, look, you're not that good a Christian. Or I didn't pray today. You're not that good a Christian. You got to get rid of that stuff. You're a good person just because you're a child of God, because you have a right heart. It's not what you did to get yourself a right heart. Jesus paid the price. That's why it's so important. When he went on that cross, it was the Lamb of God. One more time, one sacrifice. He was it. There's no high priest that has to go every year anymore to make sacrifice for our sins. Jesus did it all. And he said, you can have a new heart. Adam messed up and he lost it. But you can have it. And when you have it, you need to live and walk in it. Because I paid the price for everything. But it's nothing you did. It's nothing you earned. It's not because you were a good person. Remember the young rich ruler? He came to Jesus and he said, what must I do? You know, and he says, well, have you done all these things? And he says, all these things I've done. In other words, he kept a lot of the commandments. And Jesus loved him. But he said, one thing you lack. In other words, you still have minuses because you still have a bad heart. You have to transfer. Remember, Pastor Chris talked about transfer ownership? That's my favorite thing. It's an authority issue. You have to transfer, and you have to make me your Lord and come and follow me. He gave him an opportunity to be a disciple. He said, go, just sell everything you have and come and follow me. But he went away sorrowfully. We don't know if he ever changed. Sometimes God will tell us to do something, what takes us a while to respond. At least I'm raising my hand. It takes me a while to respond. He says, go do this. And it's not like, oh yeah, I'll do that right now. It takes a while for me to get okay and be obedient. That's just the way it is. So anyway, we don't know what he did later, but the key is to serve God, we have to give him everything. We give him everything, and then we don't live in a plus and minus system. We live in a grace system where God says, you're forgiven every day. Just come to me and fellowship with me and let me lead you and guide you and give you manna every day. Let me be your God and you be my child. Let me walk with you because I've written my laws inside of you. You know my nature. You know that I'm good and you know that I'm loving. Don't listen to the enemy. So if you're here today, and you need to know, have a new heart. You feel like, man, my heart isn't where it needs to be. You can come to the communion table and we'll have someone pray with you. But if you're here today and you've got a new heart, but you're living in this plus and minus system, I just want you to come to the altar and just say, Lord, forgive me for doing that. You saved me by grace. It's nothing that I do. And just get back to the joy of your salvation. Get back to the first love. Get back to where you're relaxed in the Lord and you're not worried about if you're doing everything right or wrong. Enjoy him. He enjoys you. You need to enjoy him. He gave you a new heart so that you can walk together, talk together, commune together, enjoy each other. Jesus paid for that. Don't waste it. Don't walk around feeling guilty or feeling like, man, I just don't measure up. Don't compare yourself to other people. You don't want to do that. Just enjoy Jesus. Enjoy God the Father. So if you're here today and that may be you, I'd just like to see you get free from that. And if you want to come to the altar, I'd welcome that as we sing, as Matt's going to sing. And I'll be up here to pray and let's just worship him and enjoy his presence. And I hope that each day this week you enjoy him, that you get back the joy of your salvation, that it's not a works program anymore, but you're just so glad that God gave you a new heart, that you get up in the morning and say, thank you, Lord, for your salvation. Thank you, Lord, for my new heart. Thank you, Lord, that I can walk into your presence. Thank you, Lord, that you have given me all things that are good, and that your word will be open up to me as I read it. Thank you, Lord, for just letting me be your child. And then realize there's a lot of people out there that you meet that are just like this. And maybe you can help them. And tell them, you know, it's great that you're doing plus and minus living, but it's not, that's Old Testament. That's Abrahamic law. But you want to get yourself born again. You want to get yourself to the point where you know that you are saved and you're a child of God. So there's people we can help, but mostly we need to make sure we're walking in his presence and we're walking in the joy of his salvation. And when we do that, then people will recognize that more and more in our lives, because they just don't realize how we can live such a joyous life. It's because of what Jesus did. So Father, we just thank you right now, and I just pray, Father, that you'll quicken to those who maybe have got caught in this trap where they're just doing works even though they're born again. And Father, we just pray that, Lord, you just release them to live in the grace and the peace that you have already paid for, and that they would just begin to enjoy you and return to the joy of their salvation, their first love, and just enjoy the walk with you every day and not worry about the pluses and the minuses, not comparing themselves with others. But Father, set them free from that, and just set them free to realize that Jesus, you paid for it all. There's nothing we could do, for it's by grace we are saved through faith, but it's not of our own works. It's all because you shed your blood and were the perfect lamb for us. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we sing, if you would like to come and just take care of that, you can do that. You can do it in your seat, but I'd encourage you, make a move. It always is good to make a move, to give thanks to the Lord in a way that you're making a move towards him. Father, we just thank you for that.